Coming up on TMS, Walter White has invaded my life.
U.S. Airways tweets something pretty terrible.
A Florida man really wants to, wants a shower and your lunch meat.
That's a typo. Fargo on FX is getting solid reviews.
Madman needs to start Get Out of Here After All or something that I didn't read right.
Whatever. Fitness Geek.
Jury Duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Good morning, world. Good morning to you. You do, you know we're wearing our Levi's.
Pardon me for staring, will you? It's a little unusual for me to open my door and find a beautiful young white woman standing there.
The morning stream. The morning stream.
The Morning Stream. A little dabble, do ya?
Good morning, everybody. It's The Morning Stream. It's Tuesday. As Brian Dunaway would say, Tuesday. April the 15th, 2014. It's tax day, Brian.
Yes.
How you feel about that? Excited?
Oh, got mine done weeks ago.
Okay, so how that's
weeks ago.
That's what I wanted to ask you, how much of a early bird you are with your taxes.
I'm an early bird because Tina likes to just get it done and get it out of the way. Mm. She's the driving force, which I am so grateful for, right? Because it's like, if it weren't for her, I probably would be waiting until today and be like, all right, 1040, easy. Mm-hmm. Can I do the easy? I don't know. Let's do this. Let's throw this form in there. I'll just scribble a big face on it. All right, let's throw it in a bag.
Honey, you're the dog's dependents. How do exactly. I list the dogs? Right, that's me. So Kim's the same. She was way ahead, like months ahead. And that's nice and good, but it's funny because even though we were way ahead, we have this great accountant who we love, and he's able to sort of figure out my weirdness pretty well and make it all work. And he sent me an email yesterday on the eve of this day, tax day, and said, we need to extend. And I got kind of panicked, and I said, why? And he said, because I'm not done. I'm like, okay, that's fine then. So we're extending. I assume millions extend, right? It can't just be me.
It's not. God, no, millions. It is. And I'd love to, like I said, I'd love to know the percentage of people who do file an extension. Mm-hmm. A majority of them, and not in your case, of course, but a majority of them are owe money. And so this is their way of kind of delaying the inevitable.
Ah, I see. And in our case, we'll owe, but we won't owe. I mean, we do it. We're pretty strategic about how we withhold because we're our own company, so we kind of have to be careful with that. And we just always make sure we're okay. So I'm not worried. It's just kind of caught me off guard because I was all excited. I'm like, yeah, we're done. We are way done. He should have been done. And then I don't know if it means we're not a giant priority. Maybe he's got a big fat rich fat cat who's got a got a bunch more complicated stuff to do.
Right.
I don't know.
Somebody just one person in line ahead of you who's
what are the other, I mean, like, okay, so if you're in Europe, we have some Europeans.
Sure.
Listen to the show. Certainly, we're big in like Denmark and London. We have a following over there. I'm curious how you do. You guys have a tax day? Do you guys have a big thing that everyone jokes about on a certain day of the year where all your stuff is due? Do they?
Sure. They just roll a cart through the middle of the town and everybody throws a tuppence.
Mm.
Or a farthing. Maybe they throw a farthing into the wagon.
You meant a trolley. That's what you meant.
They do. That's right. They push a trolley.
Right. Or a pram. It's like a pram.
No, that's a the baby carriage.
Oh, baby carriage is a pram?
Is a pram.
What am I thinking of? What does Harry Potter push through the wall when he gets to the station there? That's a
Hermione.
Oh! Fake Noah daughter-in-law, that's who. Okay, well there you go. It's tax day and we have no other way to celebrate this, so we won't because we don't want to.
Yeah, I refrain this year from playing any covers of the Beatles' Taxman.
Mm. Do you do that sometimes, though?
I think about it. Yeah, I've done that before on this show. I think the last couple of years I've played Taxman
on
April 15th if we had a show. And I was like, yeah, you know, let's
break from tradition.
Let's break from tradition. There's only so many covers that you can play of that song.
Yeah. And it's the one thing, you know, like in city building simulations that I never have enough tax dudes. It's always screwing me. Especially the ones that are sent like ancient stuff like Caesar 3 or some of those old, I used to love Pharaoh and games like that. And you'd always have to have a tax collector. And I would always just be real bad at that. So I'd spend all the city's money. The government would just be in the red on building everything. And I go, oh yeah, I need some tax people. I'd have like one tax guy for a giant city and it would never be enough. So I am not your man to count on for financial stability.
Your SimCity tax guy is overworked and underpaid.
Exactly.
That's basically what you're saying.
Oh, SimCity. All you have to do is say the word and it makes me hurt a little bit. Anyway, hey everybody, welcome back. It's the morning stream. We're here. We're doing it. We got our stuff going on. We got a kind of a weird day today. Justin Robert Young has some commitment in his normal time, so he's actually going to come and hang out with us during the news segment of the show.
Cool.
That'll be fun. Yep. After Trek Nerd gets the hell out of here, we'll have Justin on.
He'll be newsing and pooping it all up in here with us.
Yeah, that'll be good. We like that. Also,
I'm looking through the news articles and the poop articles. Okay, we could probably get through all these things fairly quickly.
Pretty,
okay, good.
Pretty small, pretty, yeah. It's all shortbread, right? We got to be quick.
That's right. Low-hanging fruit.
And we'll just have Chinbeard on the other end of it. So that'll be fun. But before all that, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I may have brought this up on the show before, but it's gotten worse. And I don't remember if I brought it up. If I didn't, well, then that was on me because I really should have. It was a weird phenomenon. If I did bring it up, I apologize for forgetting. But it has escalated, so it's still relevant. Yesterday, walking the dog, jogging same time. Jog walking, all right? Dog hated it. She was pissed at me. She's like, I am a Shih Tzu. I don't want to run. And I said, I'm running anyway. Tough poo.
I have little tiny legs.
Yes, I have tiny legs. I tire easily. What are you doing? And I said, I'm running because I need to run today. So I ran around the lake and the park and the tunnel and then back home. And it's about 2.5 miles, almost 3 miles. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Running the whole way. Start to notice a trend. And I noticed this before, but it's worse. There are signs that say no litter or don't throw things off the bridge or no fishing at this part of the lake or, you know, whatever, just signs,
sure,
right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And they're there. They're helpful. They're whatever. They have their message on the one side. But I start to notice because I'm going the opposite way I usually go. Now I'm looking at the rear of these signs for the most part. For some reason, they're all kind of facing the same direction. So okay. I'm seeing the rear of them first instead of their fronts. And every single sign, with very few exceptions, has a crudely drawn almost like court reporter style or, you know, like a police station. They have the police sketch artist. It's like style Walter White drawings.
Oh, like the Heisenberg.
Heisenberg.
Like
with the sunglasses and the hat and the goatee. And it's every sign has this
really,
really consistently rendered. Like they all look kind of identical. There's no huge change between them. In fact, for a minute, I thought this was like a stencil or a template or something.
Sticker or rubber stamp or something.
It's not. They're markers or paint or something. Paper paint. So I make my way around that side of the lake over there, and I kind of couldn't believe it. Every sign I ran into, Walter White on the back of these signs. So
somebody really likes Breaking Bad, or it's code for something.
Maybe. And last year I saw one or two, or last year, I should say before it got real cold in the winter, when I was out running there, I saw one or two. This time, all of them. That means sometime between like November and now, some person, male or female, we don't know, went around the lake and put Heisenberg on every sign at the thing. And I kind of don't know if I should say something. Like, I can't be the only one that's noticed that suddenly Heisenberg's on everything. Shouldn't there be like a, I don't know, not a manhunt, but shouldn't we try to do something? Like, I like Breaking Bad as much as the next guy.
Sure. But we need to crack down on these graffiti artists.
But I'm not sure our public parks deserve to be, you know,
defaced.
Yeah,
sure.
By this guy. So I don't know what to do. Do I go to the whatever association and go, look, guys, there's a Heisenberg artist on the loose? Because then I just look like a crazy person. Maybe I just need to treat it like, well, I told you about how the tunnel had a bird in it. You know, somebody drew a bird. But I don't think this is the same perpetrator. I think that kid was probably 14. And
exactly. Yeah, this is probably like a 25-year-old. Watching, you know, a big fan of Badger. Like, Badger's his favorite character on the show.
Yep.
Dude, I'm going to go put some Heisenberg things on the back of signs all over the neighborhood, man.
Yeah, likes him so much that he... Dave's not here, man. That's what I thought of when you did that way.
Yeah, that was my Chong voice right there, pretty much.
But you like Badgers. If you like Badgers' crusty voice enough, you yell into your pillow every night for 5 minutes straight. And then you slowly you turn into Badger. I don't know what to think, though. It's just a little bit weird. And it kind of freaked me out in kind of a fun way, because as I'm rounding corners and just seeing it one after another, I could almost put like music, tense music in the scene. Mm-hmm. I could almost like what it might feel like to be, I don't know, who should be running from Walter White. I guess everybody near the end, but I was kind of having a scene, you know what I mean? Like I felt like it was a scene from a Breaking Bad episode.
It was basically his way of letting you know that he's on to you and he's following you.
That's exactly right.
Know what, if somebody is so diligent about getting that beehive out of there, I imagine there's a neighborhood watch dude or group of people who will get those signs cleaned up.
Yeah.
There's really, I mean, you know, unless you, it's not like it's territorial or anything like that. So my guess is
a gang or something, right?
Right. Yeah. So that once somebody cleans them off, they're probably not going to come back. It's probably just like I really like this. This finale was so good. I have to go draw something now.
They can put the Kingslayer on their next or something, whatever's hot at the moment.
Right.
Speaking of which, I did catch up.
Oh, good, Purple
good,
Wedding.
Good Lord.
Yes.
I knew that was coming, but I, you know, whatever. Yes. They are constantly impressing me with how well they represent these seminal moments in those books. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I did want to say this about watching Game of the Thrones with your wife at night, kind of late. Mm-hmm. We had this theory that if we watched it and we wanted to not dream about it all night, we would put some other filler in between that and going to bed.
Right. You have to put something, watch something else after it.
Yeah. So we did that.
Something less, like not The Following or Blacklist or something.
Yeah. Something, because none of this was good.
Motel.
Everybody, I mean, the Game of Thrones, the thing you can say about those characters for the most part, with a very few exceptions, they're all terrible people.
Yes.
They're just terrible. Yes. So you don't want to go to bed with a bunch of terrible people in your head. You're just going to dream about terrible things. So
lots of a-holes in Westeros.
Yes. Yes. So here's what we did. We get to the end of it. That all goes down. No spoilers, folks.
Nope.
And Kim goes, Veronica Mars. And I looked at her to say, oh, you're just making a statement about what you think we should pad it with? And what she was doing is saying it into that new Amazon TV thing. So nice. That pops up. She's in the middle of watching that. So that pops up, and we watch an episode of Veronica Mars. It was fine, good, whatever. Kristen, what's her name? No.
Bell.
Bell. Christian Bell. Mm-hmm. She's awesome. She's great.
She is. She's adorable, too.
Something about her. She elevates that show. I don't think that show's any good, actually, without her. They're all kind of terrible actors. Except her dad. You know who her dad is?
No, I've never seen an episode of Veronica Mars.
We are so happy you are here to help our people. You know what I'm talking about?
The guy from Galaxy Quest?
Yeah, that's the guy.
Yes.
And it weirds me out every time.
Yeah, he was on Just Shoot Me. Nicholas Colasanto or something like that,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, close to that.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good. He's a versatile actor, but he's just so that guy for me. But anyway, so we're watching that. It ends, Brian. Here's the whole point of my story. Go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I dreamt about?
Enrico Colantini. Yes. What did you dream about?
I dreamt that Kristen Bell.
Uh-huh.
Christian Bale. Kristen Bell.
I never noticed that weird sort of parallel there before. Wow,
Batman.
Weird.
Movies, the famous for Batman.
Batman.
She's riding around on Hodor trying to solve a crime that happened in high school.
Really?
And
this is your dream?
And the dad kept popping up and going, hey, Lannister always pays his debts. That's what I dreamt about.
Really? Oh, that's fantastic.
So the idea that you're supposed to pat it to cleanse the palate didn't work for me. It just meshed it and made it worse.
A little bizarre Game of Mars mashup.
It made it worse, dude. It was bad. Anyway, there you go. That's what I did last night.
That's funny.
I hope you guys had a great night.
I'm loving that Amazon Fire thing.
That's
I'm loving
great.
Just being able to like go Family Guy and have it go, here's all the payoff. Oh, want to see the latest episode? Oh, it's only on Amazon for $2.99. But the one before that you haven't seen, and that's free on Hulu Plus. Why don't you watch that one?
Yeah. Okay. Is your searching all the apps?
Yeah, searching across everything.
Because
so I get it.
Mine kind of does and then kind of doesn't.
Oh, really?
And it's never clear if it is. Like, I think that's part of the problem. If it is searching through my other connected accounts, like the Netflix or the Hulu account, mm-hmm. it's and if it is, in fact, displaying results there, it'd be nice if it would say on Netflix and then the thing, because it doesn't tell you. So I don't know if I'm watching a Prime version mm-hmm. of it or...
Yeah, there needs to be like a little bit more differentiation. Right now, it only says it in the text underneath, but it would be cool if there was like a little icon mm-hmm. in the top corner of each one saying, you're getting this from Hulu, you're getting this from Amazon, you're getting this from Netflix, whatever. Yeah.
My favorite thing is just how peppy it is. I just like how fast that thing is.
It's so fast. Yeah. My only pet peeve is the Hell's Kitchen situation. So Tina and I watch Hell's Kitchen, and because it's on at the same time as Community, we don't record it. So I speak into the Amazon thing. I say Hell's Kitchen, and it pulls up, did you mean Hell's Kitchen or Hell's Kitchen? And one of them has an apostrophe and the other one doesn't. And I don't know whether to say, well, crud, is it which one's going to be the free?
Yeah, which one's the free one?
Like, which one's going to be the free one that I can watch on like Hulu a couple days after? Is Hulu going to use an apostrophe or are they going to go straight?
Hell is Kitchen or Hell
well, it's Hell's possession. Possessive.
Yes. So when you do the apostrophe, let's clear
kitchen
something up.
Kitchen of Hell, yes.
Apostrophe S can be used both ways, right? So it depends on, isn't it the context?
Well, so two, it's either possessive or it's abbreviation for
it
blank
is. Okay. So if you say it's.
Right.
It's, okay. So, hey, there's Billy the horse. Its teeth are too big. That's right. That's an it apostrophe S.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
ITS then.
Teeth. Oh, no, because you wouldn't say it is teeth are too big. Oh, but it is possessive. It's teeth.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, you would say you would have the apostrophe because it's possessive.
But if you say
Billy the horse owns his teeth.
If you say, hey, you're going home already. It's not even midnight. That's just ITS.
No, because that it is not even midnight.
Oh, shite.
Yes.
That's confusing. It always has been for me.
That toddler just pooped its pants. Would be without the apostrophe.
I'm sorry, I thought you were actually making a statement of fact. I didn't realize we were still playing Grammar Town 101.
Right. I'm sorry. Yes, possessive does not have the apostrophe. I'm sorry. That's
so possessive is just ITS.
Yes, even though you use the apostrophe S for possessive everywhere else, it does not have the apostrophe. That's correct.
So, but if you're saying Scott's car, that is an apostrophe S.
Yes.
But if you're saying Scott's dumb, also an apostrophe.
Because it's a shortened form of Scott is dumb.
Right. Yes. All right. Well, yes, that kind of sums it up, if you ask me. That sums it right up. All right. Let's get Daryl in here. Let's get a smart guy in here.
I disagree, Free Rangers. This is the worst grammar lesson ever.
It kind of is. Don't take anything we say seriously. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Hey, Norm, I doubt you would be expecting to hear a message from me read out loud on one of these podcasts, as I always pull a face when you make me listen to them, even though secretly I think they're cool. I just wanted to say that I love you with all my heart and that you're amazing, Dad. You make us very happy and we laugh every day. You're always there for me when I need you and you're my best friend. Thanks for always thinking of us and just being you. Love, Hazel, Lucy, and Alana.
All right. What was that sound?
I just heard a case of beer roll down the little metal rollers ready for delivery.
I love it. I love that you immediately had a sound effect assigned for that. Wait, Tom, what the hell was that, Daryl?
I don't know. I grabbed the microphone thing on the earbuds to clear my throat, and it must have made a weird sound.
Oh, I think you're a little crusty, too. That might be why. Who knows? That was weird. But it made Brian want beer, so that's all we know for sure. Well, good deal. Daryl, hey, man, what's going on in the world of Daryl Skeels? How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good. I saw that you had, what was I going to say? You had, you have new album art for the Cranky Nerd thing, Cranky Cast, Grumpy Cast. What is it? Cranky, Crabby Cast. What is it?
Grumpy Cast.
Grumpy.
Yeah.
What is it?
All yours are better than mine. Yeah, I like Cranky Cast. It should have been that, but Grumpy is what it is.
All right.
Is. Are you gone?
No, I'm here. Are you there?
Crunch, crust, crunch.
Crust, crunch. New from Nabisco.
Kill now you're back.
Yeah. No, you sound fine. Hold on. Maybe I did it. Oh, okay. Are you there now?
Oh, crunchy, but yeah, you're here.
I think your connection's a little weird, but that's okay. That sounds like it'll be enough. It's enough for what we do here. It's fine.
That's enough.
It's enough. All right. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He comes on the show and does Trek trivia. And today is no exception. And for those out there who do not like Star Trek at all, I need you to understand something. This segment is less about Star Trek than it is about three dudes being dorks. So keep that in mind, all right? In the Next Generation episode, Conspiracy, where was I? Picard is requested by Walker Keel to go to Daedalix B.
Oh, Daedalix B, no, the Daedalix, old
not Daedalix. Daedalix B, don't use. Unless, if you have projectile vomiting or any of that, don't take it. To meet him, Picard is questioned by Keel to verify Picard is really himself. He asks Picard where they first met. On what planet does Pickard say they first met? Was it A, Tau Ceti 3, B, Rivos 5, C, Argelius 2?
Argelius, but it's not that.
Argelius 2. And D, Mavela 4. Mavela.
Mavela?
Mavela.
Mavela.
This planet is
Mavela. Mavala?
Dolores! I don't know what it is. All right, so there's that. Daryl, while
Vulva
you're...
4 is what it's called.
Vulva, yeah, Vulva. That's it.
Mulva.
Mulva, sorry. I said the real one, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So, I was going to ask another question, but it's going to make me sound really dumb, so I'm not going to ask it. I already did the it's possessive thing. I'm not doing this one. This one's terrible. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to out myself as a complete donut when it comes to the question I was going to ask. All right, Daryl, speaking of donuts, we don't have any to eat or test because nobody has sent us any. But stuff's coming.
I've got a big box of Finnish food.
What?
Candy and chocolate that just arrived. So
I did hear that was coming, but I have not. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Kim's supposed to put them there, and they're not there. So I don't think I got mine yet. Daryl, did you get your Finnish food?
No, I have none.
Finnish. All right, well, Finnish. It's coming. You'll It'll Finnish. Be The box will be slightly transparent. You'll be able to see what's inside, and it'll float above your desk by about 3 inches. Okay, so let's get to birthdays. Do we have any to celebrate in the Star Trek kingdom? Hello? Did we lose him?
Daryl?
I think his connection maybe
did another.
Well.
Did yes, another?
That would be Robert Walker. Oh, am I gone? Am I here?
No, just no, severely here. Delayed. You're fine. Are you there? Can you hear here? Us? Can you hear us? I think. Oh, and he's gone. So let's try to add him to the call again. Goodness gracious!
I like the delay too, because then we can say you're here. No, you're here. We can hear you. Oh,
I hate that. That kind of lag is the worst. Hello, Daryl.
I'm back.
Are you there?
I'm back.
Hello.
Wow.
Yeah,
yes.
Your connection is kind of poo today, but it's all right with me. You there?
It's terrible.
Yeah. How you doing now? You good?
Am I here?
Can you hear? Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
I hear you fine. Maybe delayed, but I hear you.
Tell me when you hear the word fert.
Fert.
Okay, we're good.
How do you know that's just bad reflexes?
Could be. All right, Daryl. So what were we doing? Birthdays. Who's celebrating?
Robert Walker. He played Charlie X on TOS.
Oh, yeah.
74.
Oh, moving right along. Wait, Charlie X, he's the one that got the...
He was like the powers, like basically could control stuff.
He was a teenager-y kind of age on the show? Was that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay. 74, yep. Sheesh.
Oof. That's the guy.
Yeah, we're
that's the password. Yeah.
We're all getting old.
His eyes would roll up in his head.
Yeah, yep. That was the one. He's the one that he had a real bad faux fight with Kirk on a planet, right? On the surface of a planet later.
I thought it was just on the Enterprise. There another episode where he was?
I don't know. Daryl, you're the expert.
They did their like kung fu stuff in the rec room of the Enterprise.
Okay. That slow Kirk fighting. It's the worst. Everybody was slow Kirk fighting. All right.
My favorite part of that one is he makes somebody's face disappear.
Who did?
Oh yeah.
Wait, what?
He wipes somebody's face off.
Oh, that's great.
It's a lot like that that Twilight Zone episode with Billy Mumy, where basically he's this kind of spoiled brat who everybody's afraid of because he can basically wipe people's faces off and make people dance like a clown. And
oh, they like the kid.
Disappear.
The one that they based the movie, or the third...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they redid it for the movie.
Man,
yep.
That kid. I hated that kid. I mean, not the actor. I didn't like the kid who did the stuff.
Right.
Speaking of Twilight Zone, I think that's next for my indoctrination of my kids into things that are way older than they are.
Oh, wow. The TV, like the old TV show.
Yeah, because it's all on Netflix or somewhere. I can't remember who has it, but.
Yeah, it's there.
Is it Netflix? I think they would appreciate the stuff that's in there. I think it'd be a really good thing. And they're done with Dick Van Dyke. They need a little drama now in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Not so much. Certainly will do it.
Not so much laughing and tripping on ottomans anymore. We're going to go straight to the drama.
Man, there are some episodes of that are just rough to get through, like really, really slowly paced. So you're going to want to start them off with stuff like Eye of the Beholder and To Serve Man and Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
What got us excited, I think, was the... Oh, that's the Kirk one, isn't it?
Yep.
The thing that got us excited about it was Futurama references are rife with stuff about that.
Twilight Zone, for sure.
Like the guy that breaks his glasses when he's the only guy left and there's nothing but books to read. That one's a reference directly.
What's it called? Enough Time at Last, I think?
Something like that.
Burgess Meredith, yeah.
It's a classic, man.
It is a great one, yeah.
Go get him, Rock, he says in the middle of it.
That's exactly right in the middle of it, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Daryl. So happy birthday to that guy. May the rest of his 70s be as good as his 60s were, I assume. In the Next Generation episode, Conspiracy, this is the episode Picard is requested to tell what damn planet he met Keel on, and it was either Tau Ceti 3, Rivos 5, Argelius 2, Argelius, whatever, or D, Mavala 4.
Mulva 4.
Mulva 4.
Oh, maybe it was that one.
From Mazda, yeah. The Mulva. I'd drive a Mulva. Yeah, of course it does.
I am not sure about this one.
You can't find the gear shift. What?
This is a good episode, but I don't remember this.
I hear the gear shift is a myth.
Yeah, it's a myth. They made it up. You just somehow get where you got to go.
so many directions to take that I don't think we really could go.
No, they're all directions. They all have warning signs. They all have Heisenberg on the back.
Heisenberg signs. Yeah, do not pass.
Do not go.
Right. Okay, I guess you need an answer. Yeah. Oh, my voice is getting crusty.
Yeah, crusty space voice.
Yeah. I will say. Well, my first thought was Tau Ceti, but then this Rivos 5 is trying to creep in.
Mm.
I think I should push it out and stay with Tau Ceti.
Interesting. That's an interesting take. So you say Tau Ceti. No, you're saying... No, yeah, you're saying Tau Ceti, not Rivos 5, right?
Well, what do you think?
I'm not going to tell you what I think.
What would you say if you were in my shoes looking at the answers?
I can tell you for sure that it's one of these four that I listed. That I know. If that's any help at all, I know it's one of these four.
I'll stay with my first choice, even if it's wrong.
Maybe it's a hint that I'm saying four at the end. Maybe. Right? Right? All right, let's find out.
Congratulations!
You got it.
You're a winner!
Tau Ceti 3. He says they even met at a bar on Tau Ceti 3. Keel continues asking false questions to Picard to verify his identity. Here is a clip of that going down.
Thanks for coming.
This is some greeting, old friend.
Tell me, Jean-Luc, where did we first meet?
Answer the question.
Tau Ceti 3 is a bar. Quite an exotic one, as I remember. What do I win? Do you recall the night you introduced Jack Crusher to Beverly?
No, full well that I hadn't met Beverly then. You introduced them.
My brother introduced them.
You don't have a brother. Two sisters, Anne and Melissa. What the hell is all this about?
Apologies, Captain. We had to be sure you were really you.
Is this the one where the dude back on the ship explodes in the chair with the worm?
Yep.
Oh, that's the one. I love that one.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That one's so stupid, but good. Good in a weird, stupid way.
There's a story about why they had the guy's head explode.
Why is that?
Because the network was saying, oh, no, that's too violent. You have to tone it down. So Roddenberry said, let's make it more violent.
Really?
And they said, oh, that's even worse. Tone it down. And he said, we'll make it even worse yet then.
Wow. He's a rebel.
Yeah, because he had total control, but they were still trying to boss him around anyway, so that's what he did.
But it's like the, it's bedtime. No, two more minutes. All right, you get 0 minutes now. You keep cutting it down. Or bed in 10 minutes. Oh, give me 15. Now it's 9 minutes.
Well, it's like that Air America thing where Trey Parker and Matt Stone did the made it the worst, most extreme sex scenes ever, so that they could they knew it'd get whittled down, but they could get
that'd be Team America, not Air America.
What did I say? Air America. Oops.
Jr.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah, let's not confuse those. Daryl is the Trek nerd. He's on the internet at the Trek Nerd on Twitter. There, you can check that out. Also, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and Grumpy Cast, which is out now. Daryl, what is your game to play now?
More Star Trek creature or Pokemon?
Here's
been doing great with these.
Here's a theme for you. Here's a little theme. Go.
Wow, that changed direction about halfway.
Wow. I think it's from Tarzan. I got that. Tarzan? Yeah. Anyway, go. Okay. What do you got?
Saylot.
Saylot.
Saylot. Huh. Can I get a spelling on Saylot?
Okay. S-E-H-L-A-T.
Ooh, I would maybe go Star Trek on this one.
I think so, too. That just doesn't sound Pokemon-ish.
I don't see kids really rushing out to collect a Saylot.
Yeah, I'll say it's... Yeah, I'm with Brian. That's what I would say.
Trekking it up.
Okay. On Vulcan, the Saylots are teddy bears, and they have 6-inch fangs.
Yay! Gotta catch them all. You know the old phrase, right?
Wow, so it's like a Star Trek Pokemon, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right, I'm going to add Justin to this thing. Because that's what we're doing today. Because we're weird that way. And then I'm going to play our theme. All right, so that's coming now. Ooh, look, everybody.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
It's brought to you by the following. On September 11th, 2001, firefighter Stephen Siller left work to play golf with his brothers. But en route, he heard news of an airplane hitting the World Trade Center on his scanner. He immediately turned his car around and got stuck in traffic at the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. We're attempting to tell Stephen's story and how his family started a foundation to honor both him and wounded veterans with a new documentary called For the Love of Their Brother, which they're raising funds through Indiegogo for. Please head to tiny.cc/Siller, that's S-I-L-L-E-R, to donate or to help spread the word.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the line we have one Justine Robert Jung, I think is how you pronounce it, or something. Hey, Justin. Jerry! What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Fine. How are you? Where are you today?
I'm in Oakland. I just got a morning thing that would be greatly helped if I could just move my rambling segment into a smaller segment in which we discuss the news.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I like that idea a lot. You sound like you're on a far away mic. I assume you meant to be on.
Oh gosh, dang it! I'm all out of sorts here.
Yeah. TMS, the only show where you can get Justin to say gosh dang it on the air.
How's that?
There you go. There's Justin. That's what we like. That's who we'd like to hear.
Oh, hello.
Hubba, hubba. Well, good. Well, we'll just dive right in and feel free to smear all your goodness on whatever we talk about here.
Let's go. Bring it on.
U.S. Airways tweets out a very not safe for work photo of a woman with a toy plane. I will not tell anyone to look at this because I think you're better off not, but it's up to you. If you have any sort of compulsion to find out what's going on.
You could probably Google it.
I think
it's
right next to the gear ship.
Yeah, I think it is. U.S. Airways is apologizing now all over themselves over this stupid thing. For an extremely graphic photo that it shared earlier yesterday depicting a naked woman in the sexual position with a toy plane.
I just found the Malaysian plane.
Oh, geez. That's terrible. Oh, man.
I just want to let you know that as U.S. Air employees, the love for their customers comes from the inside out.
Yes, it sure does, doesn't it? On Monday afternoon, the airline tweeted the photo to a customer who was complaining about their service. U.S. Airways said in the tweet, we welcome the feedback, Ellie. If your travel is complete, you can detail here for review and follow-up. And then posted that as the link. What they meant to post was some other link. What this probably boils down to is some dingus in the social networking thing who just screwed up and sent something that he keeps around as a joke.
Now, is it that or is it a dude who hacked it and this was the absolute funniest way that he could hack the
Certainly
US
could
area?
Be.
Yeah,
yes.
It would, I guess, I suppose. But you'd think this would be more common. Like, why corporate PR accounts aren't attacked and hacked more often and then used in this way is kind of beyond me. I just can't believe the sort of anarchist fun that you could have as a hacker who's into this sort of thing isn't doing this all the time, you know?
Well, like, because you really need to. I mean, like, it's probably not an entirely easy thing to do in terms of hacking. What this young woman did in that photo seems like a very difficult thing to do, and she should be at least commended on her flexibility. But, you know, they I'm with you. This feels like it was just more. I mean, because let's all understand. If you have ever met somebody whose job it is to post things for corporate Twitters,
yeah,
like we are talking about the friolator jobs of the social network age.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah, that's like, true.
Yeah.
It's on a rail. All you gotta do is you're basically a call operator, but on these Twitter things. And as this gets bigger, it will be as not cool as call operators are in our modern era, you know?
Yeah, but also, I mean, it's a little more of an extreme example, but this reminds me of when you mistweet somebody, or not mistweet, but mistext somebody. So I meant to say to Brian, hey, we're on for 8 o'clock tomorrow. See you then. But I send that to my mom. And my mom's like, what does this mean? I'm like, oh, shoot, sorry. I meant that for somebody else. It's like that writ large. Like, that's what I feel like happened here. He's got like some buddy of his.
Yeah,
in mechanical or something.
Right.
Sent him this horrible photo. Oh, Bill, you big lummox.
And he was probably in the process of copying and pasting it into an email when the tweet came in.
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, I think the last thing I was working on was that photo of our customer service department. Let me go ahead and paste that.
I mean, I do it by accident all the time, just because I'm so busy. I got so much going on that I'll just miss send an email to the wrong guy, or you know, I forget to send the attachments or whatever. This just feels like one of those goofs. It just
if you are going to say Occam's razor, yeah, this is the most likely of all those scenarios. Yeah. He's copying something that is J.O. buddy, you know, sent to him thinking it was going to be a hilarious thing, and then he accidentally posts it to poor Ellie, who, wow, I mean, I'll tell you what, I can only imagine the confusion she had as she's having a personal interaction with, an airline. And granted, I hate U.S.
Is that a suggestion box?
Well, yeah. What is? Oh, geez. What is the what describe? Intentional. Describe your distaste with U.S. Airways. What's the problem with those guys?
Well, they didn't have a. All right. Jeez.
Ah, right. Here we go.
Somebody hit me up on Twitter for the thing I was about to say, but I won't say. I'm going to hold it back.
All right.
Scott did earlier.
Okay.
I
did do that.
Oh, I hate US Air. I've flown them a lot because they used to be in the Star Alliance where you get miles for United. And we went through a thing where they basically screwed something up and held a couple $100s of my money, like, away from me after they had screwed up. And I tried to get it back, and like they get so many complaints, they don't have a number you can call. Like, true fact, the best way that you can get something done is actually via their Twitter. The guys that work on their Twitter are the only ones who actually have any kind of positive forward facing, reputation with US Air.
You mean did have that? Because
no, I'll tell you what. Listen, I'll take that. I'll understand that every once in a while you're gonna get some roaches and flies in your processed food. For people who still fly US Air, that will always be they will always be welcome there.
Yeah.
Although, who knows how long that Twitter's gonna be around, because they just got bought by American Airlines. So maybe this is. I'll tell you. Here's the third option. Maybe they're just like, F it. We got senioritis like a mother. Like, let's just start tweeting photos of, very interesting plane crash scenarios.
Yeah, it does feel like maybe a little bit of a trunky kind of, I'm out of here, so who cares?
Right.
Kind of. That's definitely a possibility.
Hey, Ellie, why don't you check your itinerary?
Yeah, look at this. Anyway, the whole thing's real weird. And welcome to 2014, everybody. Florida Man, a story about Florida Man. We have a Florida Man on the line with us here. Justin's on.
No, that's why I got brought in. I got brought in as an expert witness.
I wouldn't say former Brian. I would say always a Florida Man.
Well, once you're a Florida Man, you're always a Florida
Man. You can always say, like I always said about my wife, you can take my wife out of the South, but you can't take the South out of my wife, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know what that means. Florida man breaks into
The slower you say that, the more uncomfortable.
Right, exactly.
I know.
If you say that normal, it sounds perfectly fine. But when you sexy it up, it sounds really, really bad.
Love you, honey. I'm sorry.
Love you, honey.
There you go. Sounds better. Florida man breaks into a woman's home, takes a shower, and steals her lunch meat. The lunch meat was, I assume, in the shower. Boynton Beach. Am I saying that right?
Boynton Beach. Yeah, Boynton now Beach. We're getting closer to where my neck of the woods is.
Oh, good. She is a Boynton Beach woman. Brian, come on. What's her power? What's her superpower?
Boynton Beach. yeah. All right. Draws several cute pictures of overstuffed bears. Excelsior.
Perfect. They're going to say
the only Boynton connection I can come up with.
They're going to say generates lunch meat while in the shower or something, but that'll work too. she said a burglar took a shower and some lunch meat, according to this police department there. The break-in happened on the 3000 block of Southeast 2nd Street on Friday. Old haunting grounds of yours there, Justin?
No, Boynton Beach is a little north for me, but that's definitely – we're getting into – I mean, the funny thing about Florida is that you are really never – Boynton Beach isn't a particularly, like, super poor area. It actually is like it's right just north of Boca Raton and Palm Beach, which are very, very rich. But there's really no uniformity to Florida. Like a mansion is right next to a trailer park.
That's true.
So yeah. you have really no idea exactly in what, because like I could be like, oh, yeah, Boynton Beach is a kind of rich area. And then somebody from Boynton Beach is going to be like, tweet me a picture of their, you know, ramshackle house and they're double wide and be like, what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. No, this is
like, where's my lunch meat?
This was true in lots of parts of Mississippi and Arkansas I spent some time in. It was like the giant mansion and then right behind it, a street of garbage. Or even New Orleans. It was like these amazing mansions out on some street. Very next street over. Worst thing ever.
These like Palm Beach is where like CEOs build houses.
Right.
You know, like Rush Limbaugh lives in Palm Beach. Like that's the kind of area that this is like literally 10 minutes away from.
Is it very conservative also, like one Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, yeah. No. Very – Palm Beach is very conservative and yeah.
We should have a show sometime about how I think it's all bullcrap with the whole – with the Rush Limbaugh thing, because I don't think he's all that conservative or – well, he is rich. But he is basically – his personal life looks like Mick Jagger's running it. His radio life –
really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. What do you know about Rush Limbaugh's personal life? That I don't
isn't
know?
His wife like 20 years younger than him? And it's like three or four divorces later and the prescription pill addiction and just all this stuff sounds like Hollywood man. But on his show, he purports to be the opposite of all of that.
I mean, number one, multiple divorces and pill addiction, like that is no longer simply the domain of the rock star. That is CEO level stuff.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like it's just the fact that like a record label can throw a rock star in rehab because they are an investment to them. Who's going to throw a CEO in rehab? Other CEOs?
Yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Like what is that? What does that intervention look like?
All at their least, buddies
like, yeah. publicly that we're going to know about, you know, they'll just go on. You know, some extended ski holiday where they'll drink Swiss Miss and try to wean themselves off heroin.
I didn't know that was a thing. I've heard like methadone clinics and stuff like that, but the Swiss Miss is a real that's a real brain teaser. I don't know. I couldn't think of a word.
All right. Let me break down what actually happened.
All right.
Is there any other details to this point?
It says they've collected blood samples at the scene and they've talked to the woman. I don't know why she blood samples. They also told police, she told police that the meat was taken from the refrigerator and the shower was still wet.
that's all the evidence that we've got to go on.
Yeah,
is that
meat's missing.
There's one missing. And two things that happened, and I'm sitting here drinking my black coffee like a true detective.
All right,
and I'm gonna break it on down here.
This is gonna go one of two ways.
All right.
Number one, this lady's telling the truth, and for some reason somebody. But if there's no signs of force breaking and entering, then I'm very likely that this is the second thing.
Right.
A lot of people, and I don't know whether or not it was a Florida thing. They just feel like the police is a weird resource that it really isn't, you know, like that people call the police for like any number of reasons and many times punitively. Like I swear to God, if you don't, if you steal my lunch meat, I'm going to call the cops.
Yes, right.
I'm going to say somebody did it that wasn't like, I'm going to say that you, and I don't know you. Mm. Like, that. This seems like something that was punitive.
You're saying that, like, she likely knows the perpetrator.
Exactly. Well, goddammit, woman, I will take your lunch meat, and I'm going to take a shower to make sure I'm clean when eating it.
This is one of those deals like, is this the police? Yes. My cable's out like that, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I could see
this
that.
Is exactly one of those things, but it's, I one time had a, there was a I'll tell you what, it was funny if it wasn't sad.
All right.
A friend of mine had suffered an injury at a party. His girlfriend at the time threw a glass at his face and it cut his face open.
We'll just call him Andrew Main. Got it. Okay.
Sure, no, not Andrew.
Oh, okay. God, okay. No. Oh, okay. Okay. Just a pseudonym, I thought, but that's fine.
No.
All right.
So we all go to the emergency room, and one of our friends is very, very intent on bringing a 12 pack to the hospital.
Okay.
Because we've been at this party. He doesn't want to stop the party. He's like, he wants to be there for his friend. But he also wants to continue to get drunk.
Right. That seems that seems unwise, but continue.
This is a, number one, yes. And also, all of this goes without saying. So he locks, he's like, whatever, man, I'm going to lock the 12 pack in the trunk. I'll just walk out to my car and drink a beer and then come back every once in a while, whenever I want to drink beer.
Yeah.
Does that a couple times. Next thing you know, one of our friends gets kind of really upset about it, rightly, because it is indeed illegal that to have beer or have alcohol on hospital property.
Right.
And also it's in her car.
Yeah.
That's a very key detail.
Sure.
So
we can't all be Nurse Jackie is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay.
She will not let him into her car so he can grab beer.
Okay.
So he makes a big deal about how he's going to call the cops. Because his private property is in her car.
Yeah. Right. So, again, this is
like,
yeah, I get it.
Not understanding that at some point in the positive scenario, he calls the cops. The guy says, what? Your private property, and you won't tell us what the private property is? Like, we'll be right on our way, sir.
Yeah.
And then, like, forces her to open the cops, and it's like, well, sir, here's your 12 pack of beer on hospital property. Another great day for the Orlando Police Department.
Exactly. This is the equivalent of me going, is this the Salt Lake Police Department? Yes. Daryl's call was a little Skypey today, a little crusty. Do you think you could do something? Like, what?
Did you fix that?
When is that? Yeah, when
like
did
to,
you?
I'd like to press charges, please.
As if illegal Skype calls were illegal.
Yeah.
Like, as if like the cops that you are going to call would then be at like the mercy of the law to prosecute you for another crime that you have called them there to become aware of.
Yeah.
So long story short, he gets on the phone and calls 911.
That's awesome.
And he's on the phone outside of the hospital.
He's like, pretty inebriated doing this.
Wasted.
Right? Okay. Good. I mean, at least
he's
that.
He's like, hello? Yes. I have somebody who has my private property in their trunk, and they will not let me into their trunk to get my private property. And it's at this point in which his character is only slightly redeemed with a thunderous punchline as his phone's ringer starts going off because he was fake calling 911. To put the fear of God in my friend.
Wow.
Long story short, this state does not respect exactly what cops are about. And that is an absolute Florida stereotype that I will cop to because I have seen it in the flesh.
You've seen it work. You've seen it function. And, you know, the good news is that was a long time ago. He's got a show now on A&E. Everything's fine now. He's fine.
Oh, come on.
He's
fine. You're killing me here.
I'm besmirching him with no reason.
Slander. I'm calling the police.
I'm going to stop besmirching now and dive straight into this.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Game Child Studios has released their first mobile game. Astro is a quick pickup little arcade game for the iPhone and iPod Touch and Android devices. Download it for free at GameChildStudios.com.
Sounds lovely. Fargo. getting reviews, early reviews for the FX series Fargo.
Sure, yeah.
Based on, oh, I know, don't you know?
That's my deal, Wade.
The heck do you mean? The heck do you mean? One, FX is enjoyable Fargo, as it's been written here.
Explain the interview. Sorry, go ahead.
Written and executive produced by Noah Hawley. Okay, got it. Is both an homage to an extended riff on the beloved 1996 film by Joel and Ethan Coen. In the ways that matter most, this Fargo, premiering Tuesday night, that's tonight, does everything a TV show should when it is based on a movie. It makes you recall how much you loved the first, or all that other stuff the first time around, while advancing a new tale in the same snowblown upper Midwestern milieu. Billy Bob Thornton stars as the mysterious Lorne Malvo. That's a great name. Mm-hmm. A rogue hitman who comes to the small town of Bemidji, Minnesota. Oh, it's interesting. Minnesota.
Yeah,
that's not where Fargo is, but whatever. After an on-the-job mishap in the hospital waiting room, Lorne meets...
What are you talking about?
What?
It was in Minnesota, wasn't it?
No. It was Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo's the city, right?
No, it was in Minnesota. The dad was obsessed with Golden Gophers hockey, wasn't he?
He was, but I thought they were in Fargo.
No.
What was the Fargo reference then?
Yeah, that's right, because the big Paul Bunyan thing is in Minnesota.
Oh, you're right. Well, then what the hell did we do there? What happened there?
I don't know. You made a mistake, and I corrected you immediately. Like, the audience was yelling at you to do it through their phone.
But hold on now. Are you telling me? I got to come to grips with this. 1996 was a long time ago. You're telling me from that point on, and I've seen that movie, I don't know, 12 times? And love it, one of my favorite movies of all time. You're telling me that my assumption that it was always in Fargo, South Dakota.
Well, it's the border. It's on the border of.
Is that where the body was?
In the winter of 1987, Minneapolis car salesman Jerry Lundgaard is desperate for money.
Shite. You're right. Now I feel like a giant idiot now.
Well, that's why I come on the show sometimes.
All right, fine.
Segments where I fear like you are going to make a gigantic pop culture blunder.
Well, in the hospital here, Billy Bob Thornton, ex-wife to or ex-husband to what's her name? I can't think of her name now. Angelina Jolie.
I'm here for you, Scott.
He meets an unhappily married insurance salesman, Lester Nygaard, Sherlock's Martin Freeman, or you may know him better as the Hobbit in The Hobbit, who has just had another run-in with Sam Hess, Kevin O'Grady, the bully who used to torment Lester in high school and still does. All of that sounds great to me. Reviews are already strong. I'm totally stoked that it's getting good reviews. I have no problem with any of this. I've turned a corner years ago on whether or not I thought movies could make good TV shows. And it wasn't MASH, not that far back, because that's a good example of it. But there's a lot of poo in between MASH and, let's say, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, dude. Sure.
Well, yeah. Of course. There's always going to be crap TV.
Sure.
By the way, Nika in the Tadpole clears it up. Jerry travels to Fargo, North Dakota, and hires the two men to kidnap his wife, Jean, in exchange for a new 1987 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra and half of the $80,000 ransom.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
He picked up Buscemi and Ungwent in Fargo.
Right, but so they named the whole movie Fargo after because that's where he hired those guys? That's crazy.
That's where he hired those guys, yeah. But... the movie doesn't take place. Is it right in Minneapolis or is it just outside of like on that road between? Because Fargo's right on the border between North Dakota and Minneapolis.
Maybe that road, that road where she's famously out there all pregnant trying to figure out what's going on.
Puking in the snow, yeah.
Yeah, that might have been it. Well, she just dry heaved. She didn't really barf.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. I am cooperating, Wade. Oh, let's go watch that movie right now. The three of us.
Well, you know, I mean, and a hell of a cast on that show, though. You got Martin Freeman, who, by the way, I mean, this is the first TV he's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, aside from Sherlock, which are essentially got the three movies.
Well,
right?
The original Office, which not yet.
Since the original Office. Yeah, right. That's what I was trying to say. Like, he's amazing. He's awesome. To see him play against Billy Bob Thornton is going to be great. And also Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yep. Love
him. Is in it.
Yep. He's good. Hold on. He's the fuzzier guy. Not the one that sounds like you, but the other one.
Not Charlie Day.
No, I believe
he's
Dennis.
The brother.
Dennis. Yeah.
Oh, he's the brother.
He's the brother.
The sister. Yeah. The sister's brother.
Dennis and Dee are brother and sister, and then Mac and Charlie are the other two.
I have a crush on Dee. I can't help
well,
it.
Well, so does Mac, Shane who Wilson. Married and impregnated her.
This is all true. I like her, though.
Real life.
So, yeah, watch for that. Premiering tonight. I will definitely be checking it out. Can't freaking wait. Also, the Mad Men premiere happened, and it had the least viewers since 2008.
Wow.
The last season.
All men must die, Don Draper.
That's
Baylor
right.
Margulis.
That's right. The last season of Mad Men is here, and the ratings have been confirming it is right, maybe the right time for the series to bow out. According to Deadline, the season 7 premiere of the show only had 2.3 million viewers, making it the worst premiere of the series since its 2.06 million viewers grabbed in the season 2 premiere. For comparison, the most watched premiere was the episode of season 5, which first episode of season 5, which netted 3.5 million. I mean, these are none of these numbers are like three network numbers anyway, but and everything I'm hearing is this new season's really, really, really good. But don't you guys feel a bit like they were part of this new cable explosion of amazing television coming out of
sure.
cable?
And oh, of course they were.
And now
yeah.
so much has come since, and so much that perhaps owes a lot to it has eclipsed it, has made it seem less significant and important.
Go ahead, Brad.
I was going to say it might be. I mean, it just might be the fact that it's starting a week after Game of Thrones. It's, Sunday nights are usually really good TV night. HBO, Showtime has Nurse Jackie and Veep. Veep is on HBO. But there's a lot of stuff competing with it on Sunday nights. So that could be a lot of it. And it just could be, like you're saying, like just how much good TV there is these days. Although, it seems like it should have enough of a following, especially that this is like the beginning of the final season.
Yeah.
Well, but also, there's a couple things that are going to factor into it, and some probably matter more than others. Number one, HBO does have an extraordinarily strong lineup right now. Like that, it's the first time I've gone like 2 hours on a Sunday on HBO in a very long time between Game of Thrones, Veep, and Silicon Valley. Like all those shows.
Oh, how is that, by the way, the Silicon Valley?
I very much enjoy it, but I don't know how much of it is because I am new to Silicon Valley and visiting a lot of these companies that they are parodying over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether or not I would find it as funny when I first moved here and hadn't visited all these companies. And I don't know whether or not I would find it as funny in 10 years when all of this is very normal to me. But I find it very, very funny now.
How is the Mike? Is it Mike Judgey enough?
Mike Judgey.
All right, like Mike Judge a lot. No, so.
And I Judgey is a good adjective too, because it is at times it is very like it's as if you it might as well just film him drawing a character rolling his eyes, like. But anyway,
holy crap, I completely forgot that Mike Judge was involved in this. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, it's his series. It's his deal.
2 weeks to catch up on. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's worth watching. I think it's funny. But with Mad Men, they were very, very, very specific with apparently, according to critics, they like Matthew Weiner sent a like 2-page memorandum of what they could not talk about in the in the series premiere.
Oh, wow.
So they could write reviews, but they like couldn't mention, you know, where Don works and what Don does and what time is it and what, you know, what era it is. So I don't know how much that ever really affects things, but I do think it does kind of take away from a bit of your, like, everybody's got to watch this right now sort of buzz.
Right.
And aside from that, Mad Men has always been a very cool, and I mean cool as in detached, sort of show. That's always been part of the aesthetic. And when it first started, it was like, oh, wow, this is this really smoldering supernova of cool is happening on the channel that only showed The Godfather 2 on repeat every day for years.
Yeah.
And now this is something we need to pay attention to. But I think you're right, Scott. In a world where there are dragons on TV on another channel and there's so much other stuff – like, I love Mad Men. I haven't caught up on the last half season, and I didn't watch last week. So it's maybe too cool for its own good.
Maybe.
It might be a victim of its own slow pacing, too, because so much of these other shows we talk about have all these big, exciting things happening almost every episode.
That's true.
And Mad Men, it takes a while to build up to, oh, wow, okay, he's going to have a drinking problem this season. Okay.
Even its own network with the following to some lesser degree, but things, you know, Breaking Bad came and went during this period. And, these were big, big deals. And they're, like it or hate it, the Walking Dead still just tearing up the ratings over there.
Yeah.
So they kind of, it's not like they're eclipsing it or setting it aside. I just mean that just so many ideas have come and they've went, yeah, this can happen on cable. And then we exploded with this creativity. Yeah. And now it just seems like, well, that's grandpa's show, you know?
And maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's a crisis point for AMC. Like we always initially thought that AMC was going to be the network where you had shows that were in this kind of Sopranos mold, like Mad Men. But then Breaking Bad came along and was a success. Walking Dead came along, which was a massive success. And so maybe the DNA of AMC is more along the lines of these suspense tension driven shows that have, you know, some notes of extreme violence, and not the, you know, very measured paced human drama like a Mad Men or Sopranos.
Yeah, I think you're right. So it's interesting. I'd like to hear what people at home think. Send your emails in. Tell us what you thought of the premiere. I still have to catch up with like three seasons, so I don't know why an opinion. Yeah. I mean, I'm way behind.
11 shows in a season, so we'd be able to get through those pretty quick.
Yeah, and I do. I love it. I don't know what happened. You know how it goes today with so many options and choices. You just kind of. Mm-hmm. You still need to watch True Detective, dude. What are you doing?
I do. I will.
Oh, yes. So do I. I'm still out on True Detective.
I was going to ask you, Justin, what you. Oh, there's a pivotal moment in that show I'd love to talk about, and I can do it without spoiling it. But if you haven't seen it, there's no point.
No, I got to do it. I got some time on the road coming up, so I'll probably munch through it there.
It changed the way I think of everything McConaughey's ever done. He's the guy that blew my mind. Freaking mind.
House of Cards, am I right?
I haven't seen House of Cards yet. Still haven't watched that. I'm sure it's good, though. So there you go. Hey, everybody. That's it for Justin. Justin, it's been a pleasure to have you here for this portion of the show. I hope it gave you a nice little window today.
I got to go brave traffic down to old San Jose, which is a real pain in the butt.
We got San Jose. I always think of that. That's where everyone goes for their conventions. It's like always the business place to go, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know the way to San Jose?
No.
Yes, everyone does, because the goddamn 101 is just a friggin'
right through
hot car lot.
Well, have fun doing that. Justin R. Young on Twitter for all the things you got going on. Just follow him there. Night Attack
Justin
tonight.
R. Young. I got to go. I'm getting threatening text messages from Bill Durant saying if I go any longer, just start giving out fitness tips.
That's perfect. Work your groin. Work your groin.
Thank you guys for accommodating.
No problem, man. I love you guys. See you.
Bye, man.
All right.
Awesome.
Good stuff. All right, let's take a break. You want to do a little music?
I do.
What do you got?
Yeah. How about this one going out to Carl from Littleton, Colorado? Get back in the house, Carl. Greetings, Sideshow and Bob. Brian, I just listened to you and Scott talk about the Simpsons TV show marathon on FXXXX. Here is a challenge for you. Can you find a good cover of the Michael Jackson, Brian Lauren song Do the Bartman from the 1990 album The Simpsons Sing the Blues? It had a funny music video directed by Brad Bird. Also, it had one of my favorite Mondegreens. I always heard the chorus everybody back and forth and side to side as everybody's ass is flipping side to side.
Okay.
I looked at the Coverville.com cover database but didn't see any covers of this one there yet. So if there isn't one, would you consider playing some other Simpsons or Brad Bird-related cover? Snub the Dough Pro, Carl, from Littleton, Colorado. Blue bottle when he's in the tadpole.
Has anyone ever said use the GoPro? Has anyone done that?
No, I don't think so. Anyone has.
Well, now they won't because I just blew it. But that's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
Use the GoPro.
He had the dough in there, though. Dough!
That was pretty, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good reference there. Yeah,
nice job.
Yeah, no cover. I have no cover of Do the Bartman, I'm afraid. Sorry. But I did include for today's show a cover of my favorite song ever from The Simpsons. This is performed by the Pickin' group. It might be Iron Horse. They're usually involved with the Bluegrass tributes for the Vitamin Records. This comes from the Bluegrass Tribute to the Music Made Famous by The Simpsons from 2007. It is the monorail song.
Oh, I love that episode. I love that song. And I love Phil Hartman, who did the voice of the guy trying to sell the monorail, which was fantastic, yes. At least if my memory serves. Here it is, the monorail song. We'll be back with Bill Duran and more. Stay tuned.
Monorail. I hear those things are awfully loud.
It glides as softly as a cloud.
Is there a chance the track could bend?
Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
What about us brain-dead slobs?
You'll be given cushy jobs.
Were you sent here by the devil?
No, good sir, I'm on the level.
The ring came off my pudding can.
Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monterey!
What's that called?
Monterey!
Once again!
Monterey!
Sorry, Mom, the mob has spoken.
Monorail, 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 monorail.
For cool summer splashing fun, get Water Wiggle. It's fun, it wiggles, it's wild, you bet. Just try to catch it and not get wet. Water Wiggle, it's a crazy way to cool off. Slide into exciting summer fun with the Jet Spray Slip and Slide. The sliding, slippery way to cool off. Hundreds of water jets give you fun action. Slip and Slide and Water Wiggle, sold separately.
Shaking their juju sticks and grimacing hideously through the thick white paint that covered their savage faces.
You are listening to Adele Dazeem.
Oh, got it. All right.
That was just so short and sweet.
It really was. Everything about all that was short and sweet. Short and sweet song. Right. Makes me want to watch that episode. So good.
I called the big one Bitey.
The ring came off my pudding can. Such a great moment.
It is.
All right, you guys. Let's keep this truck moving right along here.
Good.
Moving right along. I got to pull Zippy in here. Let's see here. His name's Bill Duran, not Zippy.
Zippy.
See what he has to say about Zippy. Fitness. Sure. He threw down the gauntlet. He has to talk about fitness. That's the rule.
That's right.
Now.
No cosplay today, folks.
No. Here's his theme. Bill.
Mono.
Bill.
Rail.
Polo.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, fellas.
Billy. Young Billy. Billy Duran, everybody.
Sipping my delicious coffee.
Does anyone call you Billy?
No. Oh, no. Lord, no.
You're lucky, though, because Bill and Billy is like the ultimate old-timey name. Like, it's Billy. Just how Billy, as we see, Billy here is playing with his wagon on a Friday night. You know, it's just so, like, iconic for that whole era. I love it. So you're lucky.
I had a guy I worked with at Microsoft who insisted his name was Billy.
Mm.
But he was 35, so that was
a
little weird.
That is a little weird.
His thing.
I'll say this. Scott is often used as well, but it's usually the crazy person. So it's like, here we see a normal classroom. But is it? Scott, in the back of the room, is looking leeringly at Jennifer's skirt or something. He's always like the pervert they have to fix. Have you noticed that? I have.
Oh, that's funny.
That's who Scott always is.
I think you notice it because it's your name.
And Brian is always the jock or the cool kid in the school. It's like, Brian and his friends are getting ready for basketball practice.
He's the tough guy. He's the captain of the football team.
Yeah. What will you do, Billy? Scott's looking at your crotch. It's like that.
Brian wants to beat us up.
Oh. Yeah, he does. Brian's the one that's going to get the most trouble.
That's right. So sand in their faces.
Bill Duran is the chin beard of the day. He's the man that comes in here and talks about the fitness geek. I meant fitness geek. He's the fitness geek. Comes in here and talks about fitness and how to be a nerd in a modern world and still stay fit and trim and lose weight and gain muscle mass and all that.
All so, the good stuff.
So, Bill, what is that? Who is that? What is
Hi,
that?
Facebook. Sorry.
Oh, it's fine. The Facebook.
So I wasn't here on last week because I was sick.
Yeah, I heard you were really ill. You had some sort of horrible con disease.
Well, last time I got sick, I did not learn my lesson. I was a fool, I tell you.
Mm.
And what I did was I was like, no, I have work to do. I'm going to be a hero, get this crap done. And I didn't sleep like I should have. I didn't take care of myself. And I ended up being sick for like 4 days.
Ugh.
And it was really, really rough.
Yeah.
So on Monday last week, all day Monday, I'm all run down. I'm like, man, I slept all night, but I am tired. My body's achy. And then by the end of the night, I was like, oh, dummy, you're getting sick. You know, that's what happens when you get sick, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm like, but I got to get up in the morning for the morning stream. And I got a really tight deadline on some stuff for PAX East. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no. Texted Scott and I said, look, I'm gonna sleep in a little bit. And then I was like, this thing will blow over and I'll be fine. Yeah, I woke up the next day at 4 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was just slipped into a coma. I woke up at 4 p.m. and I was just dead. I was
you
exhausted.
You just needed the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. My whole body was sore. You come out of the bedroom like Rick in the beginning of The Walking Dead. You're like, there's no humans around. You're like, I'm pretty sure everyone else is dead. I don't know what's going on.
It's better than the opening scene of 28 Days Later because your wiener would be out for that part. Remember that? No. People don't notice this, but if you go watch 28 Days Later and then you watch the opener to The Walking Dead, they're essentially the same scene. It's true, like bit for bit, beat for beat, except the wiener's not out.
Waking up alone in the hospital bed, and
yeah.
Anyway. So I did that, and then even though I was awake, I still had to tell myself, no, don't go down in the shop, don't go work on stuff, just sit on the couch, play some Saints Row, take it easy.
That's good for you.
Yeah, totally is.
That's awesome. There's a couple of lessons here, right? Like one is you're not getting any younger.
That's true. I just turned the ripe old age of 32, man.
Good Lord.
This, a young pup.
Yeah, you're just a kid. The second thing is that your body, this is a thing that is required. It is not optional. Like, you have to get the appropriate amount of rest or your immune system goes to crap and you're just going to be a worthless slug.
Well, part of it too, and I measure everything in my life based on how much work I can get done. For my business, because if I don't get any work done, I don't get paid.
Right.
And I got cats need food. So I had to tell myself, no. If you sleep all day today and you get better, then you can work your butt off the rest of the week and get all that work done. If you don't sleep today, then the rest of the week is forfeit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that math adds up. I'll sleep today.
Well, that's good. So I'm glad you did. I can't remember the last time I did one of those, like, go to sleep. Even when I was sick, go to sleep, then not wake up till 4 the next day. I don't even know what that's like.
I know. I haven't done that in a really long time, but I'm glad I did. Because I woke the next day on Wednesday, I woke up feeling chipper. I had slept like 20 hours the previous day. And I was like, all right, let's go get some work done. Mm. Yeah.
Your body is really good at telling you what it needs right now. Yes. Like, you just got to listen to it and not fight it.
I misinterpret it. So I think mine has an accent that's hard to understand.
Yeah.
It's like.
Is that what your body was saying? Hey, Scott, you should probably go do some working out. And what you heard was six tacos.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, hey, I just said go eat six tacos, get in a parking lot, go. No, I don't know. It's an odd thing because I do really think there's a real skill, not a skill, but, well, maybe it's a skill, but learning how to interpret what your body is trying to tell you and not let your own biases or whatever's habits get in the way of that and actually do listen to it the way Brian said. I mean, that's hard. Is, or can be for some.
You only learned that from screwing it up for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that you're 2 years into this journey to 40.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I remember 32, 33. That's when I got my first gray hair.
Oh, jeez.
That's when. You started early. I was going to say.
Now I've got. Now I have rogue hair because I bleached it.
That's right. I still have the white patch in there.
Yeah.
Or the light patch, I should say.
Do people see you and not want you to touch them? In case they transfer
I don't
their
go in public, so
the barista at the the Starbucks has to have gloves on, or else you're going to take their life force. That'd be bad.
That's true. Yeah, people flee from me anyway.
This is true.
Hair, not the hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm working on. I got this right here, and I keep this right by my computer and everywhere. I got all my goals for 2014 written down
on the back of a grocery receipt or something.
That's a piece of paper. I printed it out.
Okay. Just look tiny.
Looks nice.
I printed it out.
Next to the hulking mass that is Chinbeard.
Yeah, that is my mass.
That 8.5 by 11 piece of paper looks teeny.
I've got all these goals, and one of them is I want to finally get down to 160 pounds. And I'm working on that. Mm. And one of them is to be able to do 100 push-ups in a row. Mm-hmm. And that's been a goal of mine for a long time. And I did that 2-week push-up thing, and I did some other stuff. And then I've talked about this before, the 100 push-up program.
Yeah.
And I tried this before, and I didn't do it. I don't remember why I stopped. I think it got really hard. Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now I'm hell-bent. Happening this time.
Well, I did the same program. I have an app for it, and I did the same thing for a while, and I was really good at it until I hit, there was a certain wall, and I just went, oh yeah. I can't get past this one.
I think like week 5 or something I hit a wall, and it was really, really hard, and then like I had to travel that weekend or something, and I just bailed on the whole thing. But I'm doing it this time. It's happening.
Nice.
Yeah, and the great thing about setting a goal like this, 100 push-ups is kind of arbitrary, but it's an impressive number. So it what it does is it helps out my other goals. So my goal to get 160 pounds, it helps that goal. Mm-hmm. I have a goal for pull-ups. Eventually, by the end of the year, I want to be able to do 3 sets of 20 pull-ups, which are really hard. So if I just work on upper body strength in general, it'll help that goal too.
Sure. And then the weight, you get down to 160. Yep. That's a whole lot less to be pulling up.
It's a lot less than pull-ups.
I've noticed with my weight loss how much easier certain things are that didn't used to be very easy at all. Like a push-up is so much simpler now than it used to be because I'm literally pushing up less weight.
Or stairs.
Yeah, stairs are good.
I lost a bunch of weight, that was like recognizably different to me. Going up and down stairs, I'm like, oh, I have 60 less pounds to haul up here. This is piece of cake.
Yeah, the other day I carried a couple of 20-pound weights around for maybe 5 minutes just carrying them and realizing that pain in the butt extra weight I'm walking around with right now used to be on me six months ago. So it's a good thing to do that once in a while. If you've hit a goal, go find something that weighs the amount you lost and realize what you used to be carrying around. It was a lot more distributed, you know, it wasn't in your hand or whatever, but
just duct tape it to your torso.
Yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. I put it in a backpack.
Yeah.
Wear it on your chest.
Like some kind of weirdo.
I that would be a fun experiment. Take 60 pounds worth of weights, put it in a backpack, strap it to my chest, and wear that all day.
Mm. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... There are vests like that. Somebody told me about this. It's supposed to be a way to...
When pull-ups get easy.
Yeah.
Could go wear one of those vests.
Yeah, maybe that's
these are a piece of cake. What I need to do is strap a small dog to my chest so it's heavier. Do more pull-ups.
Poor dog. We don't recommend doing that. Don't do that to the dog. It's bad. It'll hurt the poor little guy.
Yeah.
I had one more thing. Yeah. I had someone who, I can't remember who, but someone on Twitter asked me if it is better to eat before or after your morning workout.
Mm.
And
good question.
It's tough to work out before you eat because you wake up and you want to go eat right away, which is usually what I do. But if you are trying to lose weight, then the consensus is to go work out first. Do that first thing in the morning. Maybe have a cup of coffee. Get your engine going. Get some caffeine in you so you're ready to go. Hit the treadmill. Do your workout right in the morning and then eat afterwards.
Interesting. I've always done the opposite. I've always eaten at least something, like just get a little carbs in me or something. And I guess that's still okay. I mean, the coffee idea is like that. But.
Yeah, just enough to get some energy for the treadmill. Yeah, it's for the metabolism, right? Because you burn the most. I mean, that's the point at which right after your workout, you're burning the most energy and your metabolism's increased, right?
I think it's that. I think there are a couple of factors. One being that in the morning, your tank is empty. And when you do your workout, your body then taps into your reserves for the energy, which is your belly, whatever you got hanging around, instead of tapping into what you've got in your stomach or what you just ate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you burn the fat because your tank is empty. And then afterwards you eat and your body continues to use the energy that you just ate. Instead of storing it away, and that's because that's what fat is. Fat is just stored energy.
So the best things. So let's say you're done working out. Okay, you've had your morning workout. You didn't eat before. Now you're eating. What are your best protein, carbs?
Well, if you're going to eat your carbohydrates, do it in the morning, and right after your workout. And if you eat your complex carbohydrates, you know, have a bowl of oatmeal or something. Then your body isn't going to store that right away. It takes a long time to process, so it doesn't get jammed into your gut right away. Where people run into trouble is if they don't work out And then they go eat a lot of simple carbohydrates, you know, sugars and stuff. Because then your body doesn't, it doesn't take a long time to process it. And you don't, you didn't just work out. You didn't just use a bunch of energy. So your body's like, oh, we'll hang on to this for later. And it gets turned right into fat.
Yeah.
That's where you run into problems.
Converted right away.
Yeah. Big so one. In the morning, have some protein, like your bacon, your eggs, whatever. And then maybe some oatmeal to get your carbohydrates.
That
in.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I have a thing with rice right now. Making rice like a wild person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a recommendation to people. If you, because I'm trying to cut out things like bread and pastas. Just cut down on that stuff, just generally. Processed kind of junk, right? I'm trying to get rid of all that. And if you, you don't realize this, but even a decent pasta, if you look at what's in it, it's just kind of not great. Like it's a lot of refined white flour garbage. And you know, if you're having any trouble with gluten or any of that kind of thing, those things are all going to give you maybe a little bit of whatever. But the but rice, man, fill it fills you up. It's good for you. The Asians have been thriving on it for ages. That's good, man. I love.
What are you having with it? Like, are you?
Well, here's the deal. So for lunch today, for lunch today, I have this plan. I'm going to do a bowl of white rice. I'm going to put a little bit of chicken broth in it. Okay. So just kind of, it's not a ton, but it kind of soups it up a little bit. Then I put, this is going to sound weird, but I put just a little, maybe half a teaspoon of ranch dressing powder. The powder you make the ranch dressing out of.
The Hidden Valley.
Yeah.
Valley ranch powder.
Yeah. The good stuff. Mix it in there.
The good stuff.
Mix it in there. And I've also got, yesterday we did some squash and some other stir fry stuff, leftover stuff. So I'm going to chop some of that up and put it in there as well. It's going to be amazing. No meat. That's,
sounds great.
Yeah. Just going straight up like, and it's, and the ranch thing, it sounds a little weird, but man, it's good. Holy crap, it's good. And that way I'm not putting all the milky hoo-ha that's in there normally. And
Stuff that's like that. The real killer with that stuff.
Yeah. The goo.
Just getting the flavor.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go. There's my recommendation for today. Bill?
I'm going to. Yeah.
It's always a damn pleasure, dude.
Sure is.
It really is. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I feel great now, and I'm like, let's go freaking make some stuff.
Yeah, go build some shite. anything in particular people should be watching for or looking at?
Sure. I just, the thing I finished last week, and I did finish it on time, just barely. I'll post a link. There's a link in the chat to my friends, Jessica Negri and Monica Lee. They did some costumes for Wildstar over at PAX East, and I built their weapons for them.
Oh, yeah.
That I did that last week. So that was a lot of fun. Fun people to work with, some really cool things from Wildstar to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did last week. And there will be a build video coming soon.
When's that game out? That's out in...
I don't know.
I forget.
You should know.
Yeah, you should know. What's your problem? You should know. Is Martin Wong, that's his, her brother? Or is that her? No. What's going on?
No, he's a photographer.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a... Oh, yeah. No, these are his photos. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, anyway, nice work. Well done.
Thank you.
And may everyone follow you on Twitter, at Chinbeard. Not that they don't already do. He's got a bunch of followers, but you could follow him if you want. Bill, let's do it again next time.
Alrighty.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
All right. Brian, let's wind
Sir.
Let's wind it down.
What?
Let's bring it down a couple notches.
All right.
Here.
Let's hear this. Let's hear this marathon Federal Express guy from the 80s method of delivering our Twitter and emails.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. Oh, actually, before that, tweakedaudio.com sponsored today's program. I completely forgot. Well, it's my fault. I was supposed to do it during jury and I spaced it. Look, we tell you about them all the time and you're thinking to yourselves, gee, Scott, we know. In fact, I already got a pair. I know all about it. Yeah, but we have new listeners. We have people coming back. We have someone who missed a bunch of episodes and here they are listening again and they're thinking, I need to hear things better. I want to have things in my ears that help me hear things better. And by gum, it's Tweaked Audio who's going to do it for you. Go to tweakedaudio.com, use the code STREAM at checkout, and get 33% off. That's a third off the price of anything they have over there at tweakedaudio.com. We love those guys. All right, now. Okay, ready? Now.
I'm ready to take a deep breath.
Find the website at frogpants.com/TMS. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. That's TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Keep it short, keep it interesting, and we'll read it on the show. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Look how
much
well
it's just so much easier. You know, just go. Totally. Those things are all the places you need to go. Everything else, you know, you don't need to hear me whine about. And I'm already doing it again, so I'm going to stop right now. Okay, I'm in. Brian, what's on tap for a song now?
Here's what we got. This is another person who's going to be disappointed because I'm not going to play the exact song they requested. February 18th of last year, my wife and I were thrust into the world of parenting, a world that for us involved our baby Malcolm being emergently flown to an ICU 4 hours away from home. Yeah. 2 months and two surgeries later, we were finally able to bring him home safely. I wanted to say thank you for being a source of very hard-to-find laughter and, of course, hard-hitting news during those difficult months. I was hoping you could find a cover of Home by Michael Bublé in honor of the one-year anniversary of Malcolm's safe trip home. Actually, now that I think about this, I did nail his request. Thank you both, Clifton from Missouri. P.S. It feels like you've read this before. It's because I sent in a similar request earlier, but to the wrong address. Hopefully, I found the right one this time. Yes, indeed, you did. By the way, people, that email address is tmsrequests@coverville.com.
Nice.
Don't forget it.
Yeah. I find your other ones, I'll forward them, but sometimes they get missed. So.
Oh, that's all right.
It is best to use the one Brian just gave you.
Exactly, yes. All right, so this is a cover of Home by Michael Bublé. It's actually his most covered song. He does a lot of covers himself, does a lot of originals, but this is the song of his that actually has the most covers, about 13, 14 different covers of the song. They're all kind of light rocky. I mean, you know, it's Michael Bublé. You're not going to... unless you're like a Steel Panther or a Rock Sugar, you're not going to turn it into a real barn stomper. But this version is by a Filipino group called Six Cycle Mind. Actually, they've got a really good cover album called Home, which features this song. Also has covers of Joe Jackson and Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. Really, really good album by Six Cycle Mind. Six Cycle Mind.
Nice.
Here's their cover of Home, originally by Michael Bublé.
And made famous by Motley Crue. Oh, wrong one? Not that one.
Yeah, that's a different one.
Oh, is Home that Sweet Home? Home Sweet Home. All right.
Home Sweet Home is Motley Crue. I considered that one. That's the one, yep.
Set me free. All right. Here it is. It's a little something to remember before we go.
Under that filth and that greasy hide you're wearing, you are a boy.
Yeah, you sure are a boy. that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Brand new show. Tom, Geek Food, Nicole, everybody tomorrow. It's a big one. So be here for that. See you guys then.
Another summer day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome, but I wanna go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. I miss you, you know. And I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one a line or two. I'm fine and baby, how are you? Well, I would send them, but I know that it's just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more than that. Another aeroplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know. Got to go home. Let me go home, 'cause I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna come home. And I feel just like I'm living someone else's life. It's like I just stepped outside when everything was going right. And I know just why you could not come along with me. This is not your dream, but you believed in me. Another winter day has come and gone away in Paris and Rome. wanna go home. And I'm surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. Let me go home. Let me go home. 'Cause I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna come home. I've had my run, and baby I'm done. I got to go home. It'll be alright. I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
There's different flavors that you can get.
Yeah, there are.